I think Ron hit on the biggest points I want to make. One is that it wasn't even a week ago when this announcement came out. As a matter of fact, it was Tuesday morning. Rumors were circulating prior to that, but Tuesday morning, I also got a call from Ms. McGrath from Horizon to explain what was going to happen. I indicated to her that I understood what she said, but that we were not going to take that. Later that day, the MLA arranged for us to get a bunch of people on a conference line and just try to work through what is it we're going to do, because we all were of the same mind that this was not a correct decision to make. It wasn't a right decision to make, and it was impacting the 50% of this province that live in rural and small towns here, and that is not acceptable. So one of the things, we did many things at that session, but one of them was arranging that Horizon Health was coming on Thursday to have a meeting with invited officials, which included myself and the MLA inside here. So we quickly arranged to have a demonstration so that she could hear this type of a reaction to what had been announced. And she must have found out that was going to happen, because she slipped out just a little too early and only saw you as you were arriving. But the point was made inside by all those who spoke about exactly the same thing, that this was unfair, it had so many externalities, that there were so many other implications of it. And indeed, one of the questions I asked was, why didn't you consult? We didn't consult because it's an operational decision.
Seriously?
You understand that these operational decisions are affecting our lives. They're going to affect our economic development. They're going to affect Mount Allison. They're going to affect everything we do here, what we've been planning to do. So again, we don't accept that, and we're going to go more political. So that evening, I invited all the mayors of the areas where the hospitals that were impacted to get together. We had a conference call the next day, and every single one shared everything that you're hearing here today. They could not possibly accept it, and we arranged immediately that we should all start to coordinate our efforts and have the same themes, like rural lives matter, that the hospitals are important, that people who live in rural towns shouldn't have to go into cities all the time, and cities shouldn't be warehousing their people that from their family in small hospitals as an elderly care home. So today, Family Day, we were about to have a coordinated attack of six protests across the province. We'd let the media know that all that was going to happen. And all that was prepared for today, and last night, things changed. But as Ron said, if you read that carefully, it sounds like a breathing delay to get out to the next election. It only says we're going to think about it. It only says professionals said there's some issues with this. It didn't talk about the things we've been talking about. So what we need to do is to maintain this approach, maintain this solidarity, and get these points out. 50% of this province is prepared to fight. 50% of this province is prepared to bring positive alternatives to what they did and what they proposed to address the underlying issues, but to do it with community strengths, not defeating the community and taking away its strengths. So, none of this would have happened without you. There's certainly a bunch of leaders across this province that did a lot, but it's all about what you do in your community and how you express yourself. So we need you to help again over the next few months where we come up with alternatives, get involved, go to the sessions we hope we'll have, talk about what these issues are, let's figure out ways we can address them together, and then we'll take a proposal back to them. Let's not just sit and wait for them to tell you we got another effort to do. Thank you.
Thank you, John. We should, in a way, I guess, be grateful that we actually had a meeting with the CAO of Horizon here.
They called one for Perth Andover, and they didn't show up.
I heard that.
So, okay. It's now my great pleasure and honor to introduce a former physician, former MLA, and senator, Marilyn Trenum, Council Trenum.
Thank you very much. I can't tell you how happy I am to be here today. I think you all know that I'm not very well, and excuse me for sitting down, but you're standing tall, all of you. And I am so very, very proud of the people of Sackville and these neighboring communities. I've never been more proud, and I've worked with you for a long, long while. Bravo. Merci beaucoup à tous et toutes. Your passion is just amazing. I want to say before I forget, happy Family Day. You know, this is a very special day, so after you've done your duty here and expressed your passion, go home and have a lovely time with your loved ones. So I want to thank the mayor and members of the council. I want to thank Megan, your MLA. I want to thank my friends here, Jacques and Kathy and Monique. Some of the MLAs from the legislature have joined us. But most of all, thank you very, very much. You know, I've been involved in government one way or another for a long while. I used to work with Romeo LeBlanc. I think you remember his name. So it's been a long, long while. And I've never seen anything quite like this in my whole life. Yesterday, I saw the biggest of both face. That's the only word I can use to describe it. The biggest of both face that I've ever seen in politics. I hope the premier is sincere, but you know, on Friday he said, I sleep well at night. I know I've done the right thing. We've made our minds up. This is what's going to happen. And you know, yesterday he said it wasn't right. So, you know, friends, folks, neighbors, fellow citizens, we have to really work hard at this. We can't be sure, as the mayor has just said, we can't. We don't know whether it's sincere. We don't know what to trust, and we don't know what to believe. And I don't think we can have confidence in this. So I'm so proud that you're going to continue. I do want to say one thing. You know, there are two areas of this province that have been without a representative for 6 months. St. Croix, down in St. Stephen, and Shediac Bay, Dieppe. And you know, the premier won't call a by-election. And so I think maybe his government, this government, was holding on to power. And I think really that's what's scared the daylights out of them this weekend. But anyway, whatever it is, it's good. It's a good thing because we bought time and we can do something. So my promise to you is that I'm going to work side by side beside these good people and all of you. I still have a voice. I can't walk very well, but I have a voice and I will do everything in my power. And I know that Megan is going to work very hard. She said, on Twitter, I read Twitter. Well, you know, Donald Trump was on Twitter all the time, and I thought, that's not for me. And then somebody got me on Twitter, and my gosh, I'm on it before I get out of bed in the morning. Well, there was Megan this morning, and she said, he's only pressed the pause button. So I think that those were good words, Megan. And without being too political, but I'm quite political. I want to say that I have had for the last 20 years a very, very special friend, and his name is Kevin Vickers. Now, Mr. Vickers was here on Thursday, and I'm telling you, he will never abandon rural New Brunswick. And he has made a promise that he will, if he has the opportunity in the near future, he will keep our emergency, he will find a way to keep the emergency departments open. He will find a way to retain acute care beds. He will increase security in our hospitals. He will increase funding for nurses so that we can start to have the professional people that we need. And he is against the loss of our laboratories, the privatization of our laboratories. So it's a lot of things are on the cutting board, and we have to be very worried. So I want to say to you that I just want to agree with the mayor. He's done such a wonderful job. I saw him on CTV National News the other morning and got a message off to him quite soon. And he's done a wonderful job representing your town. You all are doing a wonderful job. because it's been such a terrible blow to this town. You know, it has put fear into seniors, families, especially families with children, and students. I've been worried. I've been in this hospital 3 or 4 times in the last 5 years, and I don't know if I would be here today if it hadn't have been for this hospital. So I want to call. Thank you very much. I know that there are several of our doctors here today, and I want to call upon you, fellow doctors, to fight for this hospital too. I know that you will join with the people of Sackville, because I personally don't think doctors will come here to practice if we don't have a hospital. I wouldn't have come in 1977 if there hadn't have been a hospital here to admit patients. And I have to tell you one more little story. The day after I arrived in Sackville, Dr. Barnhill called me over to the old medical center. Well, you know, he was a man of few words, but he had a big heart. And he really cared about this area. And he said, "Now, Marilyn, there's 2 things I want to tell you." I said, "Yes, Dr. Barnhill." He said, "We've got to keep this hospital open." I tell you, I remember it as clear as that. Those were his words to me in 1977. "We've got to keep this hospital open, Dr. Edward Barnhill." And the next thing he said to me, he said, "You know, you're going to have to work at night in that emergency department." He said, "You'll probably be all alone." I sort of gulped, because I had come from Toronto and I'd never been alone in a hospital overnight. But I said, "Yes, Dr. Barnhill." So we're going to say yes to Dr. Barnhill today, and to all the people here, and to the people in Fredericton, and I know we can make it happen. So celebrate this temporary victory, but keep on fighting. We're all here with you, and good courage. God bless.
Thank you, Marilyn. Just to give you a notion of keeping fighting for this, my wife grew up in Bath, New Brunswick, and about 20 years ago, Bath lost their hospital. And since the hospital was lost, the funeral home was closed, the pharmacy was closed, the restaurants were closed, and the Save Easy was closed. So that's the kind of effect this can have. Okay, so that's what we're up against. All right, with that, I would like to introduce Dr. Ross Thomas, recently retired physician.
Does that mean if you close the hospital, nobody dies and you don't need a funeral home? Anyway, Ron's asked me to talk for a couple of hours about the benefits of exercise. Thank you for this podium. I'm aware, as most of you are, that we have to find ways of curtailing the spiraling cost of healthcare, which consumes 50% of every dollar in the provincial budget. Every dollar spent on healthcare is a dollar not available to education, to ensuring adequate clean water, food, housing, justice, employment, and all the other things that are equally important to our health and well-being. However, I'm opposed to the proposed changes for several reasons. Okay, the consultation process has been terrible. Despite meeting the community groups, healthcare workers, our council, even in recent weeks, no discussion of the proposed changes were ever vetted with these stakeholders. Even members of Horizon's highest medical advisory group had these changes dictated to them at a meeting a week ago. No advice was asked. This is a mockery and a waste of these physicians' time. Both rural reps, Allison Dysart from Sackville and Brian O'Neill from Sussex, resigned. Unfortunately, given the changes instituted by previous governments, axing local health boards, there is no longer representation, in my opinion, at the local level for healthcare. How many people know our rep on the Horizon board? Oh, maybe it's a she. I don't know. I couldn't find it. I Googled it last night. It wasn't. How many people have spoken to, met, or even seen this person since they were elected 3 years ago? How can citizens have any say in their community's needs or wants? None. Secondly, this whole plan is at best half-baked. What is the plan for dealing with the fallout of emergency room closures? Overworked Ambulance New Brunswick, who also were not consulted? Is there extra capacity in the ER department in Moncton? Where wait times continue to escalate, which has resulted in a steady rise of Moncton patients coming to Sackville, often after waiting several hours in Moncton. It sure doesn't appear to be capacity there. Were Amherst emergency room physicians consulted? No, completely shocked. And what is the justification for closing the OR in Sackville? Is there an OR in Moncton, empty, staffed, waiting to take the capacity from Sackville? No. Our wait time's so short that we need to cut back on surgeries. I don't think so. Is there compelling evidence that our OR is expensive? No evidence presented. Not even close. And finally, is there evidence that doing healthcare in cities is good for rural Canadians? Absolutely the contrary. And did you know that the Trans-Canada was a one-way highway to Moncton? Not last time I looked. So, who's going to... So who's going to look after Moncton patients sent down to Sackville waiting nursing home placement? Were local doctors consulted in this? Mr. Dysart? I don't think so. Will sending 5 or 10 patients out of the 120 patients on alternate level of care in Moncton awaiting nursing home placement, plugging up their hospital, resolve that issue? I don't think so. And does it make sense to send acutely ill patients from here to Moncton to sit in hallways because there's no beds, be looked after by doctors who are already overworked and don't know them? No. So since 80 to 90% of healthcare costs are generated in our three big cities, it would seem to me to make sense to look there if you're trying to save money. Why is this clear attack on New Brunswick's rural residents? To me, it's baffling, but it appears, maybe I'm just paranoid, but anyway. In summary, it's great to see so many people out here. I know you'd rather be skiing. It's great that Mr. Higgs has decided, albeit belatedly, to consult the people, but how can we ensure ongoing consultation and transparency going forward? How can Horizon reestablish this the trust rent asunder by this ill-fated endeavor? That's a big challenge. The only hope to prevent these rallies from being a recurring necessity is to do something so that we have better say about what happens in healthcare. Thank you for your attention. Dr. Dysart would like to talk, but he's been told he's not allowed to because he's a Horizon employee. But he never did what he was told.
Allison Dysart.
Thank you. Thank you. Can you guys hear over there? Okay. At the previous rally, there was a bullhorn, and I thought that's what I would be using today, which I always wanted to be a hostage negotiator. Come on out with your hands up, Billy. Think of your parents. So I have a microphone today. So my name is Allison Dysart. I work here. I'm one of the 10 or so family docs who work at this hospital. I'd like to make it clear that I'm here as myself. I'm not representing my department. I'm not representing Horizon. This will hopefully, this disclaimer might keep me from getting fired. So, thank you.
What?
Mic stand? Okay, I'll use the mic stand. Sorry.
Hey, why did you get something
my ass? There you go. Oh, the abuse I take. So, we have a reprieve. We have a little bit of breathing room. Thanks to two... Taller, sorry. Thanks to two courageous MLAs who chose principle over political ambition. Were it not for their integrity, we would still be in full panic mode. And in grief mode too, grieving the loss of medical infrastructure that in this town, which was created over the last 100 years or so by generations of dedicated townspeople, nurses, and doctors. I was speaking to Joyce O'Neill a few days ago. Many of you know her, wonderful person. She was telling me how her mother had sewn curtains for the previous hospital. That's just the kind of example of community involvement. Like, it wasn't Blaine Higgs that built this hospital and built this. It was the people of Sackville that built this with help from the government. I'd like to first of all acknowledge what a really hard week this has been at my hospital for my colleagues, especially the support staff and clerical staff and the dedicated, fantastic nurses I work with, many of whom were sent layoff notices on Friday. What a farce. I cannot imagine how stressful that must have been for them. And I'm grateful to all of these people who I love working with. I'm not a person who normally lavishes praise on administrators, but I will say that we have two wonderful administrators in this hospital, Emily Doucette and Beth Black, and I know it's been a really rough week for them too. So our extended family who work in this building have had a pretty hard week, and our sister hospitals in Sussex, St. Anne, in Caraquet, in Grand Falls, and in Perth Andover have been going through the same kind of stress, and I send them all my best wishes in solidarity. So I'm here to talk about really two things, and those two things are some current challenges that we're facing and possibly a way forward. First of all, this is the bad part. We as a group of doctors in Sackville are having a really hard time covering the emergency room. We used to be 10 covering, and then we went down to 9, and then we went down to 8, and now we're down to 7. There are 2 shifts a day, so that's 14 shifts a week, so you can do the math. And despite the numbers that the government and Horizon were citing about how many patients register in our emergency room after midnight, the fact is that we often don't get finished up until 2 or 3 in the morning with patients who registered well before midnight. So, and those patients are not included in those stats. I mean, that's the great thing about if you have all the numbers in front of you, it's easy to do with them as you wish. The fact remains, though, even though we've requested help for the past 2 years, we don't have enough bodies right now to cover every shift. And that's why we were closed on Friday night. And I'm sad to tell you that there will likely be more nights coming up where we're closed. And none of us are happy about that. I'm just telling you the fact. The second thing I wanted to talk to you about today is that healthcare does need to become more efficient. We need to do better work with less resources. As well, because of short-sighted management by successive provincial governments, we now have an acute shortage of doctors and nurses with no quick solution in sight. Rural doctors like me are not Luddites. We're open to change, we're open to improvements, but if there's pain to come, we want it to be not just targeting rural New Brunswick exclusively. We want to be part of the solutions, but we're never part of the discussions. So our organizations never come to us and say, here's the data, how can we do a better job? How can you guys do a better job in your emergency room with less money? How can you look after your inpatients with less cost to the system? That never happens. So those discussions happen at higher levels that we're never included in. So then when they cut something and we object and we say, no, don't do that, what do you think the standard answer is? You saw it in the papers this week. It's like, well, it's not sustainable. What's your solution? Well, how could we know? We don't have the numbers. We're not part of the discussion. So Horizon and Vitalité as well, I think, but I don't work in Vitalité. These are top-down organizations. They're designed with centralized control among a small group of leaders at the top. And as an example of this, Horizon employees, such as myself, are not allowed to do today what I'm doing, which is speaking publicly or on social media about Horizon issues, especially if we express diverging opinions. So, sorry. I'm not trying to sound like a hero. I my allegiance is to my community more than a fictitious organization that's really a paper on paper. I'll end by talking about possibly a way forward. And this is what I think the way forward is. When they tell us that our opposition and our anger and our frustration over these cuts can be solved through better communication, what they really mean is that we're not understanding their reasons. In other words, they haven't done a good enough job of communicating to us, because we're a little bit thick, why shutting our services is somehow making our services more sustainable, right? So that's what communication means to these organizations. It's like, I guess we just didn't tell you well enough what we're going to do. But you and I know that real communication involves not just them talking down to us, it involves them listening to us and considering our perspectives. Communication is a two-way process. And without real communication, I think that fear and mistrust will continue, and with good reason. So my plea is for decision makers to try this other rare part of communication, the listening part. And then maybe we can find some real solutions to our healthcare challenges without scapegoating people who live in rural New Brunswick. Thank you for coming out today.
Okay, before I introduce our next speaker, I'd like to remind people that on May 11th, there's a municipal election coming up, and part of that election is the hospital boards. So if anybody is thinking of getting involved in this, by all means, put your name in to run for that post. I'm sure you get a lot of votes here. All right, next I'd like to introduce from Mount Allison University, Rob Ingalls.
Hello, everyone. I'm gonna hold it. All right. Hello, Mount Allison University. Mount Allison University's president, Dr. Jean-Paul Boudreau, and a number of other leaders are out of town today for Family Day weekend, so you're stuck with me. My name is Robert Ingalls. I'm the Vice President, Finance and Administration, and I'm also the Secretary to the Board of Regents at Mount A. So I'm here to make a few comments on behalf of the university, and thank you very much for the organizing group for this opportunity and for all of you coming out to listen to me for a few moments. Mount Allison is very concerned about the prospect of service reduction at the Sackville Memorial Hospital. We do applaud the Premier's announcement last night that the health authorities will not proceed with the March 11 implementation of healthcare changes, and that a process is being put in place to engage communities in the problem solving needed to address healthcare delivery challenges. While we are concerned about the effect of healthcare reforms on Sackville's entire community, as we all know, a strong Mount A is a great town, and a strong town is a great Mount A. Yeah. So we are concerned about the effect of healthcare reforms, including on the university's 500 faculty and staff. It is the elimination of emergency services between 10 p.m. and 8 a.m. daily that presents the greatest risk for our 2,100 students. Mount Allison is a primarily undergraduate university. That means our students are generally within the 18 to 24 age cohort. This is the age group that is at risk for the onset of mental health issues, requiring support and intervention, possibly 24/7. In addition, as we all know, the majority of our students don't have cars and have moved to Sackville away from their families to attend university, so emergency care within walking distance is essential. For us, these factors put a premium on the proximity and accessibility of emergency care. Not only would the nightly closure of the emergency department have an impact on Mount A's current students and employees directly, it will hamper the university's ability to recruit future students, faculty, and staff. Indeed, I'm one of those employees. Having grown up in Nova Scotia, worked overseas, and returned to Canada to work at Mount Allison 20 years ago. The supports offered within the town, including primary health care available at our hospital, are all part of any student recruitment decision. Parents are keenly interested in supports available to their child should they decide to select Mount A for their undergraduate degree. And if you're not aware, there's no doubt about it. Recruiting students is a competitive business now. The prospect of significantly reduced emergency services represents a real threat to our ability to recruit and retain students to our campus from New Brunswick, from across Canada, and indeed from around the world. As well, prospective employees considering a move to Sackville will look for suitable health care for themselves and their families. We do accept that adjustments to the New Brunswick healthcare system are necessary. We welcome the opportunity to work together as a community with the government, with Horizon Health, to develop options for 24-hour emergency care delivery at Sackville Memorial Hospital. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rob. Before we introduce the next speaker, we've heard a lot about communication with Horizon. I just wanted to tell you that 3 weeks ago, I was invited to a strategic planning session with Horizon up in Moncton. There were about 25 of us there, and we were, myself, along with a lot of people from Petitcodiac, were putting forward ideas about how rural hospitals might work that were exactly counter to what they had proposed last week. And they didn't say one word about, don't go there, or we won't have any money for it, or anything. Not a single hint. They just sat there and smiled and said, oh, great ideas. And the CEO was there. Two vice presidents were there. So this is a real communication problem. Okay. Finally, I would like to introduce our MLA, Megan Mitten.
Thank you, Ron. All right, I've been told to speak into the mic loud and close. Can everyone hear me? All right. Merci tout le monde. Wallalin, thank you for being here. It is wonderful to see so many people show up today and last week, and to see all the actions that everyone has taken to stand up for our hospital. Since I started hearing rumors last week, I guess it was just over a week ago, I've been on the phone and email and in meetings with mayors and Chief Rebecca from Fort Folly and community members, and speaking with people from Mount Allison, from the foundation, and speaking and hearing from citizens. And it just shows how strong our community is and how much support Sackville Memorial Hospital has from the people across this riding. So thank you. There are people from all across the riding and even outside of the riding. People from all around come to get services here. It's so important. Et je sais qu'il y a même des gens de Mamram Cook qui utilisent ces services et qui sont ici aujourd'hui. Alors merci beaucoup. I was able to confirm with the Premier's office just before coming here that in addition to the ER services at night, that closure that has been postponed or at least paused, like I said on Twitter, they've pressed pause. I was able to also confirm they have pressed pause on moving the day surgery program, and they've pressed pause on moving the acute care beds for now. So this is good news for now. We can take a little bit of a breath, but we are not out of the woods. Because what I heard Premier Higgs saying in the press conference he held this morning and in the press release was that they still think this is a good plan, and they just didn't didn't communicate it well, and they just, there were a few gaps, but they still think this is a good plan. And from the booze, they should be able to tell that we don't agree. Successive governments have threatened this hospital. And our community continues to stand up and say, no, we deserve to have healthcare services in our rural communities. We will not accept losing the healthcare services that we need and deserve. And I think we all know that we do need change in the system. We know that. But we want to be, yeah, we want good changes, and we want to be part of the solution. Our communities need to be at the table. We've heard from doctors today who have expressed concerns. They need to be at the table. How could medical professionals not have been consulted? This has been unacceptable. So, we need to be ready when Premier Higgs comes to consult.
He will be here.
And maybe there'll be a rally, but before then, what we need to do is have community meetings. And I'm going to work with councils and community members across the riding to hold community meetings so that we are organized and we can talk about what our challenges are, and we can talk about what the solutions will look like.
Yes.
So I want everyone to have a chance. And so we need health professionals, we need people from our municipalities, from our First Nations, we need people from the university, from the town, we need everyone to have a chance to contribute and be part of the solution. We don't want people from Fredericton coming here and telling us what's going to happen. We need to be part of the solution. There are lots of ideas. I have lots of ideas for ways that things could be better. We've heard some today from some of the people that spoke, and there are many things that need to be addressed. And I think one of the issues is that we see healthcare as separate from everything else. But if we don't look at issues around income and poverty, if we don't look at the lack of public transportation, if we don't examine our taxation system and make sure that everyone's paying their fair share so that we can afford the public services that we deserve, we need some changes in our healthcare system, but we need bigger changes across government and across our society so that we take care of everyone in New Brunswick. And I do think this has been an attack on rural New Brunswickers, and I also think it would have hurt urban New Brunswickers, because the people in hospitals in Moncton, my dad was in the Moncton Hospital hallway. I've seen how overcrowded it is and how under pressure they are in urban centers as well. So this has been an attack on our public healthcare system. So we need to remain vigilant. We need to stand up and make sure they don't privatize anything else. And we need to be organized and work together as a community. Je suis tellement fière de cette communauté qu'on travaille ensemble. I'm so proud of everyone for working together, and we're going to keep working together. So as I said, I'm going to be working with our community, with our leaders, our councils and mayors to hold community meetings, and we're going to make sure we're organized and that we fight this, because I don't think it's over. I don't think we're out of the woods. So thank you, Melcy Wallalin.
Okay, but thank you, everyone. Before we wrap up today, I'd like to thank everybody that spoke to us and for their sharing their ideas. And secondly, I would like to thank Heather Patterson, who organized this event. These things don't happen on their own. Heather had to jump into the breach on Saturday to set this up, so good job.
Good job, Heather. Good job.
And finally, I'd like to remind everyone we still have the petitions up here. So if you haven't signed one, please come up and do so. Thank you very much for coming.
I think the information for any subsequent meetings is going to be on the town website.